Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast.
No, stop, stop, stop. Stop press, right? News ticker time. Okay, Hulk's discontinued. New subs are out. 41 mil, 70 hour power reserve-ish. Slightly redesigned case. Yada yada. Good stuff. New Oyster Perpetuals. New Sky Dweller.
Excellent. Well, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye. Buzz, are we just doing a really short episode?
Are we done?
Can we go home now? I'm already at home. So what do we think of the Doc's homages? In fact, it's not even that. It is, although I can't remember who named it this, but we're officially calling the new OPs the Doxa Perpetuals.
Nice.
So that's the nickname we're giving it. But the whole California thing is now completely explained.
What do you
mean? So Rolex, one of the releases this week is these Oyster Perpetuals, which have clearly been designed during lockdown when the Rolex team had all the Crayola crayons kicking about the house because they were on, you know, furlough at home. Anyway, somebody, I think it's Cat, no, it's KA Timepieces as opposed to Cat Timepieces, KA Timepieces has put this up, and it shows you the five new OPs, the pink, the red, which looks more orange to me. I'm interested to see that one in the flesh. The yellow, the green, and the blue. And then I've put below it the watches that Rolex sued La Californie over, wanting them to stop making, and the dial colours.
Rick, are you saying that the Pantone colour swatches are very similar?
I think so. Mm. They have gone to the... I've got one of those Pantone catalogues, actually. I came across the other week. Quite cool. You know, there's something about stationery. Is it wrong that I get, you know, kicks out of a nicely organised stationery cupboard? Just something about all the highlighter pens, all the different colours, having them all.
I don't know if you're more like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho in the way that he sort of kitted out his apartment, or the guy from Fight Club talking about buying furniture. I don't know which psychopath you are.
Oh, I'm definitely psychotic. Mm. There's no doubt about that.
You've also lost a lot of weight. I mean, you turned up at my house when you were on a way to a funeral, not your own, and you looked like you'd lost a shed load of weight.
I told you, I've been telling everybody in this podcast for weeks that I've lost 2 stone.
I know, but
I wasn't
always
lying.
In silhouette when you're on video, so no one can actually tell. But you do look more like a cross between Colonel Sanders from KFC and Rolf Harris now than ever before. So
yeah, I've got rid of the beard. I've got rid of the beard.
Have you? Did I put you over the edge with that comment last week?
No fried chicken has passed these lips since lockdown.
Oh,
I miss a good Kentucky Fried Chicken.
They're open again. Spices. Anyway, let's do our wrist checks. We've not done one of them for this year.
Yeah. So wrist check, I'm wearing a Panerai, an almost cleaned up one.
That was looking rather soiled the last time I saw it on Instagram.
It was. The arm that it was on had been inserted.
In a calf's anus?
It wasn't actually livestock. Right. It was actually to do with something we've already discussed, which I haven't managed to set up yet, which is my favourite. As you know, I have a favourite joke, and it's my...
Don't do it. We'll do it on Instagram. No. We'll see if people appreciate it.
Okay, we'll do it on Instagram. But basically, that was what was involved. Right. It was those things, not live animals.
Right, okay. Fair enough. That's all good. So what are you wearing, Rick? Cool. It's a Panerai. Is it a Panerai?
I don't actually know. I can't remember off the top of my head. Is it the 9.2? I don't know. 8-day power reserve GMT. It looks like all the other Panerais. So does it really matter what one it is?
It doesn't matter at all. I mean, all Panerais look the same, just like all Rolexes look the same, apparently. But we'll get to that shortly.
Yes, we will. So what about you? What have you got on the list?
I was hoping this would arrive in time, and it has. I'd mentioned in the last episode that Oris were going to send one limited edition. So this arrived, and it is everything I hoped it would be. You know how you see the renders and the pictures and you think, yeah, but, and then you get it in your hand, you're like, well, like we've spoken about before, when we've seen the Aquas and we've seen the Trilogy Collection, Save the Ocean, all those kind of things, or whatever it is, Clean the Ocean, they always are decent. Well, this one is incredibly good. Really, really good. This has definitely gone to the top of my exiting lockdown list. I've only got it for a week, but at the end of the week, I might actually just see if I... Because this isn't a press piece either. This has been sent from the Oris boutique in London. So it was the retail customer experience. So it arrived ahead of time with all the packaging and stuff that you would get if you buy it. Packaging, ecologically friendly. It looks like it's all biodegradable, so you could throw it in the bin if you wanted to, or the recycling bin, whatnot. It is lovely. The only niggle that I had with it was resizing it, because the pins and the screws are so tight that it was pretty difficult to open it. But then again, that's a good thing because you don't want it kind of unscrewing on the wrist. It's a big one. Yeah, it's 43.5 mil. It's a heavy bugger. It's about 25 grams more than the Batman when it's been resized to me, but it wears great. And when the sun hits it, it's just really, really nice. The way the dial is broken up with the date. I don't know. You remember what this one looks like?
Yeah, this is the one that's got the, it's got a like running a seconds on it. Yeah. And then it's got a, like a roulette wheel. I'm not sure what the technical term is, but it's basically,
it's like Skydweller-esque in a way, kind of.
Yes, we're on a Sky Dweller, that's the 24-hour time zone. It's a similar sort of idea, yeah, but it's a date wheel.
Instead of an ugly date window carved out somewhere, it's got perforated dial, so you can see through, and the disc underneath has just got a marker that rotates round and indicates what the day is. So I've had this for a couple of days, wound it up completely the first day, went to time.is to check the time, set it perfectly, and it has lost 1 second in 2 days.
Right,
this isn't a press sample. This hasn't been meddled with. It's not like, you know, when cars go out to reviewers and they're tweaked ever so slightly from the factory.
No,
this
is extra horsepower.
Really, really nice. It's the opposite way around with the bracelet. It doesn't have polished centre links. It's got outer links are polished. The centre isn't. So the bit that actually rubs against the desk, the laptop or whatever, that part there can scuff up and it's not going to damage the outer parts. And one thing I noticed on this that I never knew or never spotted in the renders and the other photos, the middle links have got a bit of a, you know, like a cam lobe. Do you understand what that is?
Yes, I know what a cam is, yep.
Yeah, do you know what the lobes are like, the raised part? Well, it's like that in the middle of these links, so they actually protrude further, which means they're going to catch before the outer links are going to catch. So we've been wearing it for the last couple of days, and it hasn't scuffed up at all. So, yep, really nice. Going to be doing a proper review on this video, yada yada. But I'm happy to say that it has met with my approval so far.
Okay, and what's the bracelet like in terms of, is it just a micro-adjustment with the pins, or has it got some sort of on-the-fly adjustment?
It has. If I take it off, so it's a deployant, it's a twin trigger, not very easy to accidentally break off. It has got, obviously you can move links on the left and the right. It's got long links, half links, let me see, 3 micro adjusts, but it's also got a dive suit extension.
Right, is it just a single dive suit, so it extends it 5 mil or whatever, or does it extend it to being far too big? So if your wrist expands just because it's hot, is that the way to do it, or does it make it too big?
It makes it a little bit too big. It's not like the, the GMT that I've got, the Rolex, where it's an ever so slight adjustment. This is more like a centimetre, so it's a 10mm adjuster. But I've got it sized, so it doesn't matter if it's too warm or too cold. It sits pretty good on the wrist. And I was a bit worried because the head is obviously a lot larger than what I'm used to, and it doesn't seem to droop. It doesn't seem to be top heavy, so it's well balanced. So for $2,000 or thereabouts, I think it's $2,100 all in, including VAT, for limited edition, 2,000 piece. So far, so good. We shall see if any sort of niggles appear, but so far, nothing. Quite happy.
Cool. And what number is it? Are they individually numbered, or is it just one off?
They are individually numbered. Let me have a look on the back. This is number 1873 of 2000.
1873? What football club was founded in 1873?
Well, if it had been 1 year forward. No, that's 2012, that one was founded.
Oh, baboom! You're all weak, tip your waitress. Yeah, very good.
For a guy that knows nothing about football, I'm quite good in the jokes, aren't I?
Yeah, you know two things about football, when Rangers were founded and then when they were, you know, founded again.
Yes, that's it.
There we go.
It's a bit like Jesus, you know, born again.
Absolutely. So, good stuff. Yeah. Cool.
Right, back to the matter in hand. Rolex, we're going to do this information launch over, what, a couple of days, 3 days, press this, press that, and they just leaked all their stuff the day early, threw everything online. As is the way. They Bamforded it.
They did a bit of a Bamford. I mean, basically, it didn't take very much for folk to work out what the web extension would be for the new model number. They just guessed until they then found the hidden web pages. And then they could just fish it out, and all the brochures were then immediately available online. So certainly all the stuff I was sent by people. And the thing is, as soon as one person gets it, it doesn't take long for your direct messaging to be full of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then, yeah, it all came out. No secrets. We did get contacted by one person stateside who had actually been to a private showing of the new collection earlier that day, because they buy so many Rolexes. That's how the other half live, but they were quite impressed with them. I think I'm kind of, I mean, I'm not sure what to think. I mean, it's a watch, isn't it? Not a Panerai.
It's a watch.
I mean, I think that's just what we should do from now on. We just start the show and go, oh, it's watches, isn't it? Then just hang up.
And then just,
but the general consensus seems to be why we got rid of those perpetual 39 mm-hmm. and replaced them all with a 41.
You know what, Rick? I've got the answer to that question.
What?
Because of lockdown, everyone got fat.
You think this is the Rolex adjusted for COVID lockdown weight gain?
They've taken a temperature on the community out there and realised that obesity is not just an American problem anymore. It's now a worldwide phenomenon. Okay. Therefore, they've increased the size of it.
Okay. I mean, I think the Submariner stuff's gone down reasonably well.
Well, the best thing I found on the sub was Waco's video, where he did a hands-on, and he had one of the original ones. Not original, God, what am I talking about? He's got one of the previous generation and one of the brand new ones. And his way of explaining stuff is probably one of the best. Him and Tommaso, Jack Forster, the three probable best guys to explain stuff out there. He went through the details, the changes, showed it, put them side by side and pointed out the sort of differences and things. And it reminds me of when the James Cameron was out and then Rolex changed it a bit and made it more wearable by sort of reprofiling the lugs and things like that, and the bracelet size. And what he basically said was the same thing. They've made it more comfortable. It's gone up in 1 millimetre somehow, depending how Rolex measure stuff, which God only knows how they do that, since they say the Daytona's 40mm and it's about 38. But it's gone up in size, but the proportions are better and it wears nicer. And it's got that new, longer-lasting power reserve that everyone was sort of hoping it would have.
Right. I mean, I have actually, you mentioned the James Cameron. I've been obsessing over that watch recently. I don't know if I said that in a previous episode.
You did. But you it was a year ago we did the talk show with Jonathan and you were obsessing about it then.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's just like, it's a cycle. So I was obsessing with the AP Offshore and I've moved on to that James Cameron Deep Sea. That is actually the only watch that I've ever seen somebody wear who I don't know in a public place and gone up and interrupted them and said, is that a James Cameron Rolex you're wearing?
I was on your skiing trip a couple of years ago, or a year ago.
On the skiing trip. Well remembered it was. And they had knackered it. They were an offshore oil rig worker, and they had knocked loom pip out of the triangle, the pearl, or whatever it is. So it was knackered. It had been well worn, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, do really like them. I would, and also the prices. Yeah, I think you can get them. I think you can get them.
Well, I'm still waiting for a call from Rolex and Glen Eagles about the waiting list position that I had 2.5-3 years ago.
So what do we think is happening with the waiting list?
I have information. I actually have come prepared today, Rick.
Have you?
Come prepared. So I have spoken with people and people have said that the shredders at Watches of Switzerland have been decommissioned. They have been sold on eBay. Therefore, anyone that was on a waiting list, for instance, for a Hulk, has automatically been ported across to the new Kermit waiting list. And that's what they called it, the new Kermit.
The new Kermit. Yeah. So a few folk have suggested it should be called the Cermit because it's a ceramic Kermit, whereas the original one was an aluminium. The blue ones had some names. Some interesting names.
The Cookie Monster.
We had some suggestions. Cookie Monster, yeah, that's quite a good one.
Somebody in our Facebook group jumped in and did an image of the new Kermit and the blue and put up, is it Oscar? Oscar, the guy that lives in the bin?
Hi, Oscar, lives in the bin, the trash.
Cookie Monster. And they put the pictures beside each other. And if, when they both open their mouths, and obviously they've got black mouths with the colour around it with the fur, it does, looks pretty close. The Cookie Monster and the Oscar.
So we reckon the Sesame Street range.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can make that stick a little
bit. I doubt we will. But so I spoke to somebody at Rolex and they said to me that, yep, don't worry, if you're on a list, you will be fine. This is obviously from one boutique retailer, not them all. Your mileage may vary. And the other thing I asked was, you know, availability. And basically the way that was explained to me was that there's two issues with availability. It's hard to predict and information is never given out by boutiques and dealerships because you don't know your allocation. You don't know how many you're going to get of whichever model. And when people express an interest, you could have 20 people in front of you in a waiting list. 5 of them don't answer the phone. 10 of them say that their position has changed since the last X amount of months have gone by and they maybe don't have the same finances sitting. So it could be, it's like throwing two dice. You know, it depends what number of allocation and it depends how many in front of you can or cannot go for a watch. So that kind of covers those two things there. Over and above that, one of the other videos that dropped mentioned Waco at Revolution Watch. Go check that one out. It's a really good one. But the next video I spotted last night, all the YouTubers went crazy. The guys that had content recorded and the guys that had no clue and were caught with their pants down. So it was a flurry online last night, as we well know. We were going to do something today, but since all the stuff came out last night, there's no point in doing it today. Monochrome Watch.
Yes.
Great website. You know, well-respected, well-known. They got a video out really quick. I think his guy's name was Leo from Monochrome Watch. We're going to drop in just a couple of snippets of what they said in their super quick, fast, out-the-gate video on the sub, which they had a hands-on on. They had one of the new ones to play with, and here's what they said about it.
Hi, guys. This is Leo from Monochrome Watches. And today, we're about to review what's probably one of the most important new watches of 2020, the brand new Rolex Submariner 41mm. The devil is in the details. The Submariner is still a sub and keeps all the iconic elements. It keeps its sturdy and practical oyster clasp with gridlock extension system. The new Rolex Submariner 41mm no date will be priced at 7,700 Swiss francs and will soon be available at retailers. For more information, check out our reviews on monochromewatches.com.
Now, Rick, did you spot anything incorrect with any of that information there?
The Submariner.
Yes, I don't know this model. Can you fill me in?
Is this a new Rolex model, the Submariner?
Submariner, right. So what do you think about the new gridlock? Is that maybe where you're trying to drive to the AD and you can't get there because traffic's horrendous?
I'm confused. would be
the world's most famous luxury watch from the world's most famous watch brand from one of the biggest watch media empires. How did they fuck that up?
Submariner and gridlock. I mean, where in Monochrome based?
It was an English guy. It was like an English guy that said it all. So it didn't matter where they're based.
Yeah, but are they based in Europe? No, I'm just wondering whether they're based in like Australia, and so it might be late at night and they're all drunk, or whether it's from, you know, a country with a drug problem or something like that. But yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. Make sure you download that video because that might not last long.
It's already downloaded. How do you think I put this clip in?
Has nobody commented on the comment section of said
God.
Video?
Oh my God, yeah. I jumped in.
Oh, is that right?
I was going to write something and I didn't because everybody else jumped in. And the best comment within minutes was, does the pontiff know that you've stolen his pronunciation of Submariner?
Yeah, because he does that as well. I did wonder whether maybe it's a head fake that actually they'll get so many more views because folk will go, wait, you gotta watch this.
Nah.
You know, everybody else is covering the Rolexes, and they say, "Well, the way we're going to differentiate our channels, we're going to pronounce it wrong, and everyone will rush away from Hodinkee." Well, it is our gig. Yeah. But everyone will rush away from. Oh, talking about mispronunciation. Okay, so I got a message from friend of the show and Hodinkee editor Cole Pennington. So check out Cole. I don't know if you've seen this link in the direct messages, and it's. Apparently there's a Scottish Wikipedia page.
Oh, somebody was editing it for years?
Yes, somebody's editing it for years. And you may not know, so we speak English in this country, but there's also the Irish, Celtic, Scottish language, which is Gaelic or Gaelic, depending on where you are. Mm-hmm. But there's also what's known as Scots, which, for want of a better description, I can't imagine there's that many full Scots speakers listen to this podcast. Think of it as being just the most Scottish thing you can imagine.
Okay.
That's what Scots is. Just like all sorts of phrases and words that you'll never have heard of that mean things. So real colloquial stuff. And apparently this Scottish Wikipedia has been written for many moons by an American, and all they've done is they've mangled the English in order to make it sound like Scots. So just inserted really daft phrases. So I'll stick it in the show notes, because I will do some show notes for this, because this is worth a read. But it's very, very funny. So thanks, Cole, for pointing that out. But yes, that's the whole pronunciation thing as well as what Monochrome have been up to. Which, that's just really weird that they let that through.
Yeah, I mean, there was no checks on that whatsoever. Really strange. And I mean, I've seen their videos advertised on YouTube as pre-roll. You know, come and check out Monochrome Watches. We've got behind-the-scenes stuff here, there and everywhere. They're really pushing forward with stuff, so it was a real strange one that dropped out. And it wasn't iPhone quality. They'd properly shot it, edited it. There was a script. Everything was done properly, just apart from the voiceover. Weird.
Well, I mean, Monochrome are well known for being the ones that do the best. They do a lot of these mock-up predictions. We did it on SWL on Friday. We went through some of the Monochrome ones.
Yeah. So there we go. But we also saw in our Facebook group, amongst other places, that people were looking around to see if the prices of the discontinued watches and the old releases had changed. And a few people were saying Watch Finder had bumped everything up, which is incorrect because I went on and did a Google cache search of the models and there was only one that I could spot that they'd increased the price of by 400 quid. And I think that's because it was a 2020 release or something really late. So it's as close to end of production run as possible. But Alex from our Facebook group saw that somebody was ready trying to punt a 2020 Hulk on Chrono 24 for 20 grand. So it has started. And I looked at this and I thought, okay, I've already spoken to Rolex, which covers the new stuff and the waiting list issues and the availability. Time to speak to somebody on the pre-owned, pre-loved. So I got a hold of Jonathan from Edinburgh Watch, had a chat with him, and that's what reminded me. It was a year ago that we'd recorded the talk show just about. Because he said that today is the 6th birthday of the Edinburgh Watch Company. So many happy returns to Jonathan and the company itself. He was telling me all about, you know, what his thoughts were on the market, how things have been. Because I've not spoken to him like for a month or two and things have obviously moved forward quite a lot. But he says it was good that Rolex have released stuff after saying they wouldn't, because it gave something happening in September that was something to talk about, maybe not something to look forward to. And his explanation of the subs and everything from his point of view is it's a bit like Porsche and the 911. Why change something that works and is selling that people want? You know, it's an evolution, it's not a revolution. Split thinking on it, you know, people might want the older Hulk because they like the dial as well as the bezel, whereas the Kermit's different. And I thought, you know, that's like the Batman, the Batgirl. I wouldn't change mine if someone offered me a straight swap. And asked him, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to increase his prices? And he says, nope, he's not going to increase his prices on anything on his website, anything he has in stock. He's not going to try and capitalize on it because he doesn't feel that's the way of doing things. But he was quick to point out, which is a true fact, that people aren't stupid. So if people are now selling him watches from today forward, for instance, if someone has a Hulk, they're going to be trying to sell it for more money. And if he buys them, which he's going to have to, at more money, then he's going to have to sell them for more money. But the stock he's got in just now, he's not going to scalp, he's not going to do anything stupid. So well done to him for that.
Cool. Well, the one watch that actually did have something new, which I actually do like, is the Skydweller.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big Skydweller fan, and they have stuck this on the
Oysterflex
bracelet. The Oysterflex bracelet. Now, admittedly, they're about £40,000 because it's only gold. And
you need a G3PO, that's gold, what you need. Available.
Yeah, that would maybe scratch the itch in the not at all sense of the word. But this gold the actual yellow gold in the Oysterflex, that looks pretty cool, 42 mil. I'd go for one of them. So if you want to, you know, Christmas is coming, so, you know, I'm expecting something nice from you, so that would do.
From who?
Well, from anybody. I mean, club together if you want. You can club together with the girls and Adrian if you like.
Well, we can give you syphilis and chlamydia if you like.
Okay.
No. Oh, you've already got that. That's fine. That's good.
Rather have a Skydweller if it's all the same to you. So,
were you not supposed to be getting a call from an AD that had maybe pissed us off and done something stupid last year?
About a Skydweller? Yeah, still, I've not heard from that particular AD yet either.
Okay.
So I'll maybe phone them. Actually, I have been meaning to phone them up and just see what's happening. I was allegedly put on the wait list for steel Skydweller.
Do you think maybe they had some technical issues and that's why they've not phoned you?
Well,
I mean,
possible.
Rick, technical issues happen. I mean, I went on our website just a day ago there to do something and, you know, have a look around, and there was all these weird articles that had been uploaded and were all over the place,
right,
and there was no graphics and no photos.
I thought,
holy shit, we've been hacked. Has Rick changed the password to 1234 again? What happened?
What
did you do?
You know, I'm not the
did
most.
You press
you know
the big
I'm
red
not
button.
The most technical, but I press. It's there's a bit. It's like the back of the Bell and Ross where it says "Don't unscrew this screw."
Uh-huh.
On our back office, there's a button that says "Don't push this red button." I pushed the red button, and it published all the draft articles that have been sitting.
You want to tell the truth
very quickly? Well, that is more or less what happened. Actually, I had scheduled all of these. I had scheduled all of these articles for a period of time so far away from when I thought we'd ever have it. It was a bit like the Millennium Bug, you know. The date of the 31st of August was so far away from when these things were being done that I thought, these will all be published by then. I don't need to worry about it. And it turned out that no, actually, they all self-published at 4 o'clock that morning.
Yes, with errors, draft notes, no pictures, nothing at all. And you know what the knock-on effect of that was?
You're going to duff it up big style. Go on, what was the knock-on effect? We got loads of views.
You then messaged me yesterday morning to say, podcast hasn't gone out.
Still don't understand this.
Yeah.
How does the podcast relate to going out as to whether it appears on the website or not? Surely it sits in some Radio Shack office.
What you did when you went in and unscrewed all your muck-ups and scheduled everything that was sitting there for another couple of years down the line, you took the podcast that was about to go live and you rescheduled that at the same time.
Ach, well, there you go. It's the watch industry.
The way this works is
just watches.
When we schedule podcasts, we schedule it the same way as articles. So when that goes live on the website, iTunes and Google and Spotify pick it up. But if you schedule it for 2 years down the road, then the podcast doesn't go out.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, you know now.
Now I do.
You fanny.
See, the point is you need to trust me with all... If you'd given me all of the information...
You would have scheduled it for years in the future anyway, so it's fine.
Exactly.
It's okay,
but
you chose not
to give me all the information. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, Fridays... I'm really quite confused. So, on... what day is this?
Tuesday.
Right, so Monday's podcast, which we put out on Sunday, Monday, that was the Scottish Watches Live Ears Edition.
Yeah, which was kind of a rehash of the stuff that we'd done in the podcast.
Yes, so we decided we would take the live YouTube show that we do that had both the Watch Nerd official and Adrian from Bark and Jack, plus the usual Scottish Watches team, and turn it into an audio file, which I did by, you know, handwriting it down and then reading it all back out again.
Mm-hmm. On a wax cylinder, yep.
On a wax cylinder, and then publish that as a podcast. And it's gone down reasonably well, despite my shonky audio. Although I now have a new microphone. So hopefully this Friday's Scottish Watches Live will not have me cutting in and out as it has done for the last 10 episodes that we've done.
No, because we've to record this and you're cutting in and out.
Are we? So what's the problem?
It's your audio setup. I think you've got your automatic gain control set wrong in your settings. You're going to have to do some Googling and fixing and testing ahead of time. To be honest, the audio wasn't bad because I gave you the handy hint of putting something over your mic and you used kitchen roll and elastic bands, I think.
Kitchen roll and an elastic band. Like, I am the MacGyver of the watch industry. Mm-hmm. When a solution needed to be found to a problem that I did not have the right bit for, I just A-teamed it and, you know, face manned it and built my own with.
It was a BA shot. It was a MacGyver BA shot, I think. Yeah, got it sorted. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit more of the Rolexy stuff because we're trying to intersperse other information so it's not as boring as hell. But we've talked about the OPs and the Skydwellers and the subs now. All these predictions that were kicking around, how many of them came true? Because I don't think many did. There was like a gold one that people had predicted that didn't turn up.
Yeah, so the blue sub, I mean, obviously the new sub with the new movement in it was predicted, came true. I don't think many predicted it would be 41 mil. I think most reckoned if it was going to increase, it would be 42. Mm-hmm. So that got a tick. Most people predicted a blue sub.
But they thought it was going to be a Smurf-esque style thing, didn't they? Not just the bezel.
You mean that it was going to be, I don't know, but maybe. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be fully blue rather than just a blue bezel. I don't think, a number of people reckoned that the Hulk would be discontinued and that there was a reasonable chance that something else green would come.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody predicted the Oyster Perpetual side of things, and nobody I heard predicted the Skydweller. The things that were predicted that didn't turn out were largely the full gold with green bezel sub, which hasn't appeared, I don't believe. I believe it's all been two-tone rather than full gold.
Yet again, no Milgauss changeover, no Air King changeover.
Yeah, the Air King, a number of folk predicted the Air King would be, you know, all of those fives would finally be retired, but that didn't happen.
They must have a surplus somewhere.
Yeah, they're still, I mean, who managed to print all of these fives that are sitting in the stock cupboard that just need used? You know, somebody clearly overordered some, work experience bod ordered the fives from the Chinese factory. Mm-hmm. Had to put them somewhere. So that is still in existence. I mean, I don't know what to feel. I'm just kind of, I mean, I think actually the travelling, yeah, this would be my reflection. The travelling is more exciting than the arrival.
You mean it's the journey, not the destination?
That's the one.
Is that the terminology you're looking for? It's like motorcycle riding, it's the journey.
So the journey to Rolex's new releases, the fun in and around the predictions, the chat, the jokes, the memes, that was actually the best bit, as opposed to the actual releases themselves, which fundamentally are just
evolutions.
Nice-looking luxury Rolex watches. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Mm. I don't think I can say. I mean, they're nice, but then they've always been nice.
And what would you choose if you had the choice? Brand new, unworn, 2020 edition. You've got the new Kermit. You've got the Hulk. What one would you go for?
Oh, between the new Kermit and the old Hulk. Mm. Oh, the new Kermit every day.
Why?
I'd go for the old Kermit. I think the full green is too green.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I much prefer the Kermit to the Hulk. Too much green in the Hulk, in my opinion. And the green is, I know this sounds even dafter, the green is really green, whereas the Kermit green's not quite as green.
That's because the ceramic green isn't as bright and colourful.
No. I think the ceramic green is brighter. It's shiny in comparison to the aluminium bezel on the Kermit.
No, what I'm saying is the bezel on the Hulk will be the same kind of green as on the new Kermit.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's not as
so
vibrant.
I would take the old Kermit over them all.
Really?
I know Adrian is, you know...
I know where he stays when he leaves the house to drop his kids off to school.
All right, okay. Well, presumably at the same time as everybody drops their kids off for school, but yeah.
I don't know. I don't have kids. Look at me go.
Yep. I would take the new Kermit of the new models. I would take the Sky Dweller. But if it was between the new Kermit and the old Hulk, I'd take the new Kermit.
Okay.
I'd probably actually, on reflection, go for the blue, possibly.
Yeah.
I'm actually reasonably impressed with that blue colour, which I'm just trying to find now. Don't get it in front of me. Oh, look, I've stumbled across the Cellini. Yeah, nothing happened there.
You can keep that prediction. It's you know, it's like a broken clock. Eventually that one will come
around. It'll be right eventually. I think it will be interesting to see if the blue is as vibrant
as the Batman?
As it looks on the renders.
Mm. Mm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
We shall see what happens. And what would you go for? I'm assuming by your leading question, you'd go for the Hulk.
I would. And I'm now trying to second guess myself if I have a psychological problem more than just having to do a show with you twice a week. And I like the Batman more than the Batgirl. Like I said, I wouldn't swap if someone gave me the chance to. And it's not a value issue of, well, Batman's probably going to increase in value, yada yada, because they don't make it anymore. With the Hulk, again, one of those kicking yourselves because you could never predict the future. A good few years ago, I got offered a second-hand Hulk from a friend that was wanting rid of it for $4,000. And I was like, green isn't really my colour just now. I'm fine, thanks. Imagine if. So, no, I like the old Hulk. And I'd bought one of the Pagani Design Homage ones just to see what it was like. And I quite liked it. I think that's one of the reasons that I like this Oris. Because I don't have a green watch. Green isn't really my colour. Blue is, or red, or whatever other silly colour. Yeah, yellow and black. But, I don't know. I like coloured dials. So I would go with the Hulk.
I'm just looking at the full range that was announced. And actually, you know which one I think is the... Now, sleeper would be the wrong expression for this.
Oyster Perpetual Yellow?
The full gold sub with a black bezel.
Mm.
So we predicted that there was predictions that there would be a green version of that.
Yeah.
But actually that full gold and black, that's pretty rocking. Don't like the blue. The blue I don't think works as well. I think that's better as a two-tone. But the full gold and black, that's pretty cracking. I don't know what they're thinking with these Oyster Perpetuals.
Right.
Other than, like, I can't really see a person who only has one watch buying any of these.
They looked at Doxa and went, people who have already got a nice watch are buying one of these funky colour ones as a summer watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what this is.
This is your summer Rolex collection.
In the last week, we've had Breitling with their colours, we've had Nomos, we've had Carlef Bucherer, all with multicolours. I think what this is pitched at is guys and girls who have loads of money.
Mm-hmm.
I think these will be quite available, I suspect, because they're pretty simple watches to make in comparison even to the sub with a ceramic bezel. I think these will become quite ubiquitous and you'll see all of the colours of these in a window, and this will be trying to footballers' wives, footballers...
It's just the Swiss watch
team
industry. They're trying to catch up with technology, and they've looked back and they went, what did Steve Jobs do in 1997? Oh, he was designing those iMacs and all those funky colours. Let's do something like that. You can have your Bondi Beach Rolex Oyster Perpetual. So we have the future.
I think it is a weird one. I think it is a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it will be largely people, it will be guys buying the smaller ones, or maybe even the 41s, because they'll wear nicely. These will wear really nicely for their wives and girlfriends.
Or their wives and girlfriends.
Or their wives. Yeah, actually, yeah, it's true. So as you can remember which one you're with,
yep.
Depending on what colour watch they've got. And will be guys and girls that already own several Rolexes, and this is to go with an outfit.
Yep.
Summer watch.
Do you notice that? Well, no, I was going to say, do you notice that? You don't actually go out, so you probably don't. I notice that I pick watches depending on where I'm going, what I'm up to, and what colour of stuff I'm wearing. And contrary to your popular belief that I disprove on the talk shows that we've done, I don't always wear black.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's less of a problem for me because I only wear the Panerai, and it obviously goes with everything.
And you don't go anywhere.
Going out
and you're colour
blind. Going out is not really the issue. Yeah, I mean, I did think it was weird that Rolex released 5 watches that all look exactly the same for the colourblind amongst us. But there we go. Anyway, do we want to speak about something that's
50 shades of
something that's not Rolex? Yeah, exactly. Should we speak about something that's not Rolex?
Well, I've been watching some movies. Time to switch into Scottish Watches.
Ooh, yeah, go on.
I have gone down a trip of memory lane watches, and I watched the first Iron Man.
Right, okay.
Reason was that I was told that this was a kid's movie and all the superhero bollocks, and I thought, actually, see if you take Iron Man and remove the fact that it's to do with Marvel and all that stuff, it's a little bit sci-fi, but it's also kind of potentially real, because a lot of things that have happened in the, 12 years since Iron Man 1 came out, there have been advancements in technology with stuff. Tesla's done things, NASA have done things, Boston Dynamic. So a lot of the stuff in that first movie have kind of come to fruition. So I watched that back, and it is amazing. It is so good. It stands up even after, you know, more than a decade. And Tony Stark in the first movie is wearing a Bulgari watch.
Is he?
And it's not an expensive one either. And it's one of the ones that has been redeveloped and reissued quite recently from Bulgari. So it's interesting seeing that.
Right, okay.
And then I watched Mission Impossible 1, the original from 1996, which is obviously a little bit older. And I think there was a G-Shock in that Tom Cruise was wearing, plus, like, you know, things that you look at back then and thought, wow, the future. People talking to each other and glasses with cameras in them and all this wireless technology stuff. And that's all kind of come to fruition as well. So I wasn't so much in the watch front. But I did go to the cinema for the first time in over half a year, and I watched Tenet.
Tenants, as we call it here in Scotland. So is it good? Let's start from the not asking if it was good. Did you understand it?
I understood it.
Okay, so it doesn't need multiple watchings, you feel, in order to understand it.
It's one of those films where Nolan has decided that he wants you to come twice to the cinema. So you have to, you watch it once and then you watch it on a second running and you spot things. But because you had given me a heads up ahead of time that this is, you know, you're going to have to get your brain in gear for this one, I was ready for it. So I was watching everything, watching behind the scenes, backgrounds, what was going on here, who was saying what. And it was difficult to follow because they don't explain a lot of stuff. There was a bit of exposition, but it didn't fully, it took a while for me to figure out, you know, exactly what was going on. But yeah, it's not a very good film, I would say. It's a clever film, but it's not very entertaining. And because you're thinking so hard about stuff, you're not really enjoying it as much as you maybe would do.
Right. Is it set up for a sequel, or is it a standalone film?
I think
or
it's standalone.
I think it's standalone. It's not obviously got a been made for a part two. I mean, I don't know. Well, I do know quite a bit about it. But I know a lot about it
because I then did a deep dive in IMDb. And this is something he's been working on for, I think, a decade. Mm. I think it was 2004, 2006 that he started writing it. Again, with most of his stuff, he has to wait for the technology to come along and be functional. So he had to redevelop the IMAX cameras and the system for recording, the different lenses, custom-made parts. And this was an expensive film for him, for independent. It wasn't like a Batman franchise. This was over £200 million. And the opening weekend was less than £1 million in box office. So COVID has taken a little bit of a victim there, but, you know, he decided to release it. So hopefully, you know, it does well. It was a good film, as in it was all shot in camera. There wasn't many VFX. He tried to do everything. So he filmed everything one way, and then he got everybody to kind of act in reverse and filmed it again and merged the two. So technologically, it was really good. It's just, it was lots of show just to show he could do it instead of storytelling. So that's where it kind of fell down, I felt. But your little watch appeared in it.
Yeah, does it? Does it actually make? Is it one? Is it genuinely a prop?
It is.
And does it make a difference whether I've got the one with the red hand or the one with the blue hand? Is that relevant?
It is. Yes, it is.
I've got the one with the red hand, or actually, you've got the one with the red hand because I loaned it to you.
Not
is it better
it.
That I've got the one with the red hand, or should I have bought the one with the blue?
It's not giving away the plot, I suppose, because it's been advertised as. But the whole theme of the story is that time runs forward and backwards. And attributes on items can be, either way. So one watch runs forward, one watch runs backwards, depending on the colour. And there's a point in it where there's two sort of two marine teams, that one's coming forward, one's coming backwards, and that's what the different colours are, and the timing meets in the middle. Now, does yours have an LED watch part to it, or is it completely analogue?
It is completely mechanical,
right.
If that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's,
it doesn't have any
batteries. That's where I was going with that one, Rick. Well done. Now, your watch has got no relevance whatsoever to the film, then. It just kind of looks like a dead version of the one they use in the film, because they've got the analogue part, and then behind it, a bit like some of the NASA Omega watches, there's a digital display that counts down or counts up, and you don't have that in yours.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a big plot piece. I mean, Nolan does this. He did this with Interstellar, and he's done it with various other films. Time is a big, big thing with him.
Yes, so I mean, the way he kind of deals with it is, so if you look at Tenet, it's effectively a spy movie.
Yes.
Okay, that he's then wound this time thing, whereas Inception is a heist movie.
Yeah.
Which is wound time from. Now, I know the movie In Time, but I've not actually seen it, so I don't know what the basis is, but effectively what he likes doing is taking standard plot type things, standard devices, tropes, and then weaving in some sort of time travel plot, or not necessarily time travel as such, but time plot, and messing with your heads.
What was the other one that he did? Memento? That was about sort of timelines going back and forward as well.
That a monster movie?
No.
Memento?
No.
Oh, what was that? I remember, I know the name, but I can't picture anything to do with it, because I have a short little attention span.
Memento's got the guy from Neighbours in it, Guy Pearce.
Oh, right, okay. Guy from Neighbours, showing your age there.
I remember hearing it when I was in the womb.
yeah, and the rest. Cool.
There we go. So that was that. Unfortunately, some bad news. We had the passing this week of Chadwick Boseman, who is most famous for being the actor playing the lead role in Black Panther. It transpired that he had been fighting cancer for a number of years and had pretty much kept it to himself or his close associates and family. So nobody knew that when he was filming all these movies, Avengers Endgame, Black Panther, various other ones over the past, I think it was 3 or 4 years he was fighting
this.
4 years.
Yep.
People had given him a hard time, apparently, on social media, saying, he's looking a little bit skinny, he's looking a little bit gaunt. Nobody knew what was going on, and he passed away, age 43, which is just tragic.
Yeah, I when I saw this, I was like,
I thought it was a fake news, I thought it was bullshit.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought this is, I had to check that I'd actually gone to the BBC website and not to some interloper, and that this wasn't us doing a Roger Moore.
Yeah,
but it was genuinely shocking. There's not much that shocks you nowadays in the world in which we live in. There's not a lot that makes you go, wow, blimey. But actually seeing that when it happened, that was a blimey moment.
No, totally. Not anything related to it, but another person that passed away that very few people will probably know is a guy called Rick Drayson. And he was in his 70s, so he was a little bit, obviously a lot older.
We always celebrate the passing of anyone called Rick. So
indeed. Yeah. Bit like us, a little bit follically challenged and whatnot. Bit like me, like the gym, unlike you. But no, he was in his 70s. He'd been in hospital for a number of weeks, although he's been in and out. He was a bodybuilder, used to work with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in Gold's Gym in the day, in World's Gym.
Yeah.
He had a great YouTube channel where, if you go in there for health and fitness, you've got all these bozos that, talk a good game, don't know anything about any things, jump in bandwagons, talk about this, that and the other, steroids, yada yada. This guy lived it for 40 plus years, 50 years, and he explained, the best way of doing it, the way Arnold Schwarzenegger did it, Sly Stallone did it, all these guys from back in the day, and again, just died. He wasn't in for anything that was life-threatening, from what I can tell. He'd been in and out of hospital with various things, and he passed away. So on that side, on the fitness side, a lot of people were like, wow, that was completely unexpected.
Right,
there you go.
Cool.
Cool. But remember, I was supposed to go to Switzerland. Did I ever tell you I was supposed to go to Switzerland? Did I make a big song and dance about this, Rick?
Once or twice.
Well, the guys at Orage did their little shindig without me. And because they were feeling sorry for me, because I was feeling sorry for myself, Landon got in touch to send me some sneaky peeky pics that no one else has seen of the new K2 movement. And I've not even shared these with you yet.
Oh, go on then.
Are we spotting a theme?
Yeah. You don't trust me?
No. Do you want me to WhatsApp them to you just now?
Right, then WhatsApp them. Oh, that's very good. I like that. Please tell me they're going to make that.
We are in talks about things.
That's epic. No, that is a really cool movement. I can't say what the particularly epic thing about it is.
Is it the fact that behind the micro rotor it looks like a vinyl record?
No, it does, but that wasn't what struck my immediate attention about the micro rotor. That is really cool. I was not expecting it to be like as into...
This is a render. Things can change. Things probably will change. This... Don't want to go into too much details because he's told me not to talk too much about it. But as far as movements go and the pricing of this thing, being completely custom designed in-house, it's not like they've taken an Etter or Solita and put a different rotor on it and said they made it. This looks incredible. It's got all the kind of cool stuff. It's got the gridding pattern that we've seen from their Tourbillon. It's got... lots of things. God, I wish I could actually upload this photo, but he would kill me. But yeah, it was nice of him. He got in touch to sort of ask how things were going, gave me some information, and they've got some news coming out in the next couple of weeks. So he's going to, hopefully we can get the podcast done because we were supposed to do a podcast with him start of the year and then lockdown happened.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get him on there and talk more about the K2, the micro rotor, and what they are doing with things. And Rick, you get ripped off, my good man. Somebody went and registered Lugs and Jugs on Instagram.
Yes, for the 15 different people that have sent us direct message. And you, the Instagram account that is Lugs and Jugs. Not guilty. Honest, Gov. Not me.
Now, this was a name that you came up with when the girls at 10-2 were... let me get this right, because I'll probably get it wrong. When Kat and Catelyn were trying to think of a name for their new podcast, that was your suggestion, which should have been my suggestion, because I'm that kind of guy, not you. You came up with this, and then nothing was said, and then a year almost to the day, this appears.
Yeah, see, I was fighting desperately not to say this, but sometimes things just pop into your head randomly. And that name just appeared and I couldn't do anything with it, so I had to share it, and that's what it was. Offensive though it may be, some things just need... better out than in is what you would say. So we shared that, and somebody has actually... and it would appear to be a lady. I dare say that she's having some assistance in some of the photos that have been published. But somebody has run with the idea. They don't follow us. So I'm assuming it has been independent, or maybe they're not following us so as not to leave the breadcrumbs. It appears to have been independent. I mean, that's it. Because they didn't adapt as a name for their show, that idea just goes back into the ether until it lands, like some Terry Pratchett novel, until it lands somewhere else. And it's obviously landed with this person who has registered it and is now using it. So I'm not going to make any recommendations for you to check it out or anything like that, but it does exist, so do with that.
And I have confirmed with the ladies that we know, it is not Sophie, it's not Babs, and it's not Cal.
I'm not... so of the three people comment,
I would point elbows at, none of them are behind this.
I'm not going to say anything about the fact that it strikes me that that particular account is not capable of being either of the three of them, but I don't want to take that statement any further.
Are we talking proportional representation?
Something like that. Anyway, okay. I don't want to have this conversation anymore. So maybe actually what you could do, if you feel that you cannot resist going and checking out that particular account, could you follow them and send them a message? Just send them something from... see that Panerai shot that I've taken? Share that with them, because we've had their account shared with us on direct message for days. So just take a really that really random Panerai shot that I've made and just share it with them.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Don't tell them why. Just DM them the Panerai pic from earlier this week and let's see how long it takes them to figure out what's going on.
Cool.
There you go.
Right, okay. Well, let's finish off with a nice story. We're not known for our nice stories, but we do have one here. Now, a while back on the show, I talked about Watch Obsession. They were doing a sale where they were offering a off-brand generic Pelly case for watches where you could store three watches and they were $50, which is really good in itself, but they were doing a half-price sale for £25. And I told people to check this out, and a lot of people did. They got in touch, said, yep, we've ordered one. They love them. It's great. It's fantastic. And there was a guy called Alan on our Facebook group. Free plug, join our Facebook group. It's a good laugh. Lots of cool stuff in there. Get on Facebook, search Scottish Watches, like the page, join the group. Done. So anyway, Alan in there posted up and said, yep, he got one of these. It's going to be a gift for his birthday from his missus, and he had a look at it, it's fine, he gave it to his missus and everything's hunky-dory. So, do you know this story?
I don't believe so, no.
Right, okay, well, you should be paying more attention in our group, Rick, like everybody else. So, anyway, Alan pops up just a couple of days ago there and says that his birthday's come round and he got the Pelly case from his wife and he opened it up and inside there was a watch.
All right, okay, cool.
So it turns out that his wife is a little bit devious, but in a good way. You know how your missus usually goes through your stuff looking for bad things? Well, she went through his stuff looking for good things and found it. She found his watch list on eBay, saw some of the things that he was looking at, which would, in my case, incriminate me and cause me all sorts of grief with the police and everything else. So the one that she plumped for from his eBay list was a 1970 Omega Geneve Dynamic with a blue bullseye dial. So, yeah, if only all our significant others were as good as that. And she actually dropped me a message to fill me in the details. Said, hiya, I had a peek at Al's wishlist on eBay and I spotted the dynamic, like one we had seen previously in Burlington Arcade in London. So began the journey down the rabbit hole of finding out more about these watches. I was reading all sorts on the internet and was getting more and more confused. So I finally plumped for a couple that I had seen on eBay. And once I'd won an auction, I was excited to get my hands on it. When it arrived, it was so small that she worried that it was actually a lady's watch. No, it didn't say Daytona, so you were fine. But the seller reassured her that it was a man's watch, so it's been sat in a drawer waiting for today whilst she's been busy crossing her fingers that Al's eBay trigger finger wouldn't press buy it now on another one, as has happened in the past apparently. But there we go. So there is a good story from a good significant other that understands our hobby of horology. So well done, Alan.
Cool.
And his missus.
Good, good. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not a bad surprise. I think you're getting a Pelly case and you open it up and find that there's a watching
the nice little Omega. Like so there we go. That kind of rounds off today's show. So we did cram in a lot of other stuff. We made sure that it wasn't all Rolex info because you guys will probably be sick and tired by the time this goes out on Thursday morning. But we had to cover it because if we didn't cover it, we'd be morons more than we had already. So anything else, Rick?
No, that is it. You will be listening to this on Thursday. So tune in to Scottish Watches Live Friday around about 4:05 UK time on the Scottish Watches YouTube
channel. I want to see what the difference is with the statistics.
What do you mean?
Because
less people will watch it.
Yeah, exactly. But it also doesn't fuck our analytics for the main channel, if that's what's happening.
Our analytics is fine. Over 1,000 people have watched it.
That's because Adrian was on it.
Well, then we don't have Adrian on it and see what the stats are like.
Yeah, that was a week before.
No.
Adrian wasn't on it the previous week. So put it back on the normal channel and we'll see how things go.
No, not sure I agree with that. Anyway,
I agree with that.
So tune in to Scottish Watches Live. It will be somewhere on the internet.
Yes.
Go to either Scottish Watches Live YouTube channel or the Scottish Watches channel. Me and Ricky will arm wrestle as to which one is going on Friday.
And since I own the domain names, I will change the email passwords and everything will be fine.
That's fine. You go right ahead and you'll be doing all of these shows from now on with Floatlight.
Oh, listen, I don't want to increase our listenership that much straight away. No.
Anyway, so check that out. Instagram, all the usual places. Thanks for joining us again. Leave us a review. Yes, so final thing to do very quickly. Don't just like type 5 stars on your thing, but actually leave us some text and we'll read it out. We've got a couple of good reviews there, which we'll get around to reading out sometime. So leave us a review and perhaps you will get read out.
And
so there we go.
I have a final shout out to a guy called Jason Sawyer. And this is to do with playing cards, but we don't have time to talk about that. So we'll talk about it next edition.
Yeah, I've seen these. Cool. Right. Goodbye from me.
And this time, it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.